you know what? If New York can do it, I feel like Charlotte can do it too. It's such a big city, and they're trying. I feel like Charlotte is trying to, you know, be kind of like a LA or a New York City at the same time. We just have to know how to make it our own, you know, be original. And so that's where I think the opportunity is right there.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the Charlotte music scene. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So each weekday during the month of September, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, a hip-hop producer who's chasing the dream to impact the world through his sounds. That's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you introduce yourself and tell me what you do in the Charlotte music scene?
Absolutely. So my real name is Christopher Williams, but I go by Young Citizen. And I always say Y-U-N-G to be exact, because back in the day when people would do interviews for me or write an article on me, they would always spell it Y-O-U-N-G. But I wanted to spell it Y-U-N-G to be unique and for people to pay attention, like, to my name. So, yeah, I go by Young Citizen, Y-U-N-G to be exact. I'm a producer, songwriter, artist. I've been making music for, like, 15-plus years. And as far as the Charlotte music scene, I'm just here. I refuse to move to a different state or city just because I feel like Charlotte is a market that can definitely grow, is definitely untouched, and I just love it. This is my city. I grew up here. I was born here, and I feel like there's opportunity.
How did you get started in music?
Yeah, so when I was young, my parents introduced me. I started listening to Michael Jackson when I was like, you know, 10. And then when I became a teenager, that's when I started making beats, when I was like 15, 16 years old in high school. You know, and my dad was like, man, why are you wasting your time? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, this is super dope. I didn't start making beats until I discovered Pharrell Williams and NERD. I used to listen to that Fly or Die album, like, every day before my, you know, when my dad would drop me off to school, I'm like, man, put that Fly or Die in. We have to listen to that. And then I started listening to that. And then that's when I discovered their older album, which was In Search Of. That was, like, their first album. And I just loved the way they were so different and unique. And I was like, dang, like, that's what I want to do. I want to be different. Like, I don't want to make music like everybody else is, like, bumping to. I want them to bump to something different, get a different feel for it, different cadence, different drum pattern. So I just focused on that for almost 15, 16 plus years. When I got out of high school, I got accepted into college to play football. And the college is called Catawba College in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I played 2 years of football, but I was also a music major. I was a music business major. So it was hard to balance the two. And football was just like, that's what got me into school. But it was such a huge job that I didn't have time to focus on my piano lessons. I didn't have time to focus on practicing. And I had to analyze all these music sheets for homework. It was tough balancing the two. And, you know, traveling to games on Saturdays, like, I was just like, man, I'm just bummed out. I can't do this anymore. So I told my coaches, I was like, listen, music in this education is what I need to focus on, because my grades are falling. They were like, all right, you know what? Just focus on getting your degree, and we totally understand. So they supported me. And this what's funny is that the coaches till this day still hit me up, like, yo, how's the music going? I'm like, dang, man, like, they still support me. That's, like, super dope. You know, it just made me realize, like, they care more of you as a person than they do a player. So then what happened was I had a partial football scholarship, so my scholarship kind of transferred to the music department, like my sophomore going into junior year. And then I just got really deep into the music program at Catawba, and I started managing the production crew, handling all the sound when we had shows.
Wow.
And I helped build a studio there, which is it's like phenomenal now. I'm like, dang, how come we didn't have this when I was there? You know, it's like one of those things. And I got my first major beat placement when I was a senior in college. It was super amazing because that fall semester, going to spring semester of my senior year, I sent a beat to this artist named Nico. He was at that time, he had just got out of the camp with Wiz Khalifa. Like, they know each other, and Wiz Khalifa discovered him, and he started his own crew out of New Jersey. So I sent him one beat, and like 3 months later on my birthday, I wake up in the morning and like his management hit me up saying, yo, Nico's coming out with this mixtape, your beat got placed on it. And I just went crazy on campus. I was like, I got a beat placed, man. I'm about to be famous. Knowing good and well, this was just the start of just, you know, some progress, you know. So I was on campus and I was just going wild. And yeah, the song's called Whippin', and it's still out, and it still bumps, you know. And then from there, after those four and a half years at Catawba, I came back to Charlotte, and I'm here, you know, because I graduated 2012.
Well, it sounds like your college experience was very special in your music career, because the fact that you were on a football team, you're trying to balance this music degree. And then when you say, like, I need to focus more on my career, and they're saying, yeah, absolutely, we totally support you. Take the money out of the scholarship, move it towards that degree, yeah. And they're keeping up with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of artists can say that they experienced that kind of support.
I mean, it was crazy because, at one point, like, when I stopped playing football, like, some of the players didn't talk to me for, like, a good 2-3 months.
Really?
I mean, I would walk past them, and they would just go with the head down. I'm like, I feel you, but I got to do what's best for me. I understand we got a team. And, I didn't even mention this, but my freshman year, we won a championship. So I got, like, a big ring sitting on my mantle that I don't even wear. It just sits there. It's nice, but, yeah.
It's a good paperweight is what you're saying.
It's nice. It's real nice. Like, I've never had a championship ring ever. But, the players, some of the players, because I played offensive line, so – if people know football, offensive line, we're like a close-knit family. I'm talking about we had dinners, like, just the linemen. They would, like, some of the linemen would bring their, you know, their parents to come cook for us. We would have dinners before Friday's practice, you know, to do dress, you know, kind of like a rehearsal before the game on Saturday. And we were so close like that. Then some of those, you know, some of the linemen they ignored me. And then it wasn't until, like, after the season was over and they were like, okay, let's just, you know, we understand what he had to do. And I still talk to him until, you know, still today. That was a crazy experience for me.
Well, I know that in your college years, too, it was around sophomore, junior, summer, you had the opportunity to work up in New York City. And mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more about that process and what you learned.
Oh, man. So Dr. Fish, shout out to Dr. Fish, man. That's like my best friend now. I still talk to him on a regular basis. And so at that time, he was like, all right, so it's time to get internships. He told us in class. It was our music business class. And, like, everybody freaked out because they were like, oh, I need help. I need help doing this. I need help doing that. He was like, well, that's not how the music industry is. Like, you gotta be out here, you know, fend for yourself. So as soon as we got through with that class, I went straight to my dorm, got my computer, my laptop, and I went to the library, and I was just on my computer just researching everything. I don't know what made me do it. I was just so hungry to, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish getting something on my own. And the only thing I'm meeting Dr. Fish for is a letter of recommendation. So I emailed a whole bunch of places up in New York, and I got an email back from Jambox Studios. And, you know, she was like, yeah, we would love to have you. Can you send us some information? So I went to Dr. Fish. I was like, hey, listen, I got this. I need you to write this letter of recommendation, and we about to get this popping. I didn't even think about, dang, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? How
in
am
New
I going to
make City, this money? In right. New York City, where the money is low and the rent
crazy.
Is high.
So let me tell you how I mapped this out. So at the time, so my uncle, he is in the music industry still to this day. He used to work for Universal Records. He did work with, he did marketing work for Prince.
You didn't mention him in the influences of how you got into music?
I mean, at the time, because he wasn't really into the music at that time when I was younger. Oh. He didn't get into the music until I was like late teens,
okay.
You know? But he did a lot of he's done marketing. That's all he's done. So he got into music marketing, and he used to work for Universal Records out in L.A. And I remember going out there one time, and he took me to the Universal Record building and his office and gave me a whole bunch of CDs and stuff like that. But when I was in college doing the internship, he was living in New York at the time, working for Viacom, MTV and all that. So I got the internship, and now I'm like, okay, cool. How am I going to make this money? Where am I going to live? So I hit my uncle up. I say, listen, I think it was me, my mom, and my dad. We were like, can you do this as a favor? He's only going to be up there for 3 months. Can he just stay with you? He was like, oh, yeah, sure, we got this. I'm like, all right, bet. All right, we got this. So then I'm like, how am I going to make this money? So at the time, I was with Gap Outlet Old Navy. That was like, you know, kind of like Kanye era when he was working for Gap. Yeah, so I was working for Gap Old Navy. And I know near the end, I did on Maps, near where the studio was on 33rd and 7th, I believe, there was a huge Old Navy across the street. So I was working at the Old Navy in Salisbury. I said, hey, listen, I'm getting ready to do this internship for 3 months. Can you call Old Navy and see about a transfer for 3 months? They were like, all right, yeah, we got you. So I got that. So my parents dropped me off at the airport, and I fly up. I don't know nothing about taking no cab. I don't know nothing because I was by myself, literally by myself.
And that was probably before Lyft, right? Or Uber.
Oh, man, yeah.
You actually had to get yellow cab in New York.
Yellow cab. I had to hit it. You know what? I did a black car for the first time.
Ooh.
Yeah, when I first got there, I did a black car. That was like $70. I was like, this is ridiculous. So then I meet my uncle, and he got this nice crib like near Manhattan. And, you know, he's just like, all right, well, we need to go ahead and see what your, you know, what the walk is going to be like to the internship. And it was like almost 7 blocks. It was a long walk, but it wasn't bad, but it was still a long walk. I'm like, good gracious. And it was hot. It gets hot in the summer in New York. So I'll go up there. Her name is Kathy Palmisano. Yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, I didn't even expect you to be here. I was like, I just want to meet you to get a face-to-face so, you know what's going on. So
so that was even before the internship started. You just got up there to meet with her in person.
I met with her 3 days before the internship.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to get a head start.
Yeah.
I needed to see how long it take me to get there, how I get there from there to the job. Old Navy is literally right across the street. So I was able to map all that out.
Wow.
That was one of the best experiences of my life because they had me as, like, studio manager. So I was booking sessions, cleaning up the studio before a session started. I met some dope artists. I met some dope engineers that worked for the studio. With my uncle, that's when Drake came out with that album, Thank Me Later.
Uh-huh.
And he knew some of Drake's people. And we went to his album release party because it came out that summer, 2010. Yeah, 2011, 2010, one of those. And we were literally at Flight Club. It's a sneaker store, and like we were in the backyard, and Drake was performing like half of the album. I met Drake and all of them, and I was like, wow. But see, this is where I missed the opportunity. I was young, I didn't know how to network, get these contacts. I got a few contacts throughout that whole throughout the whole internship, but there were some opportunities that I missed, and it was definitely a learning experience, which is why now when I go out, I'm trying to get numbers, like, hey, how can I help you? How can you help me? But it was a huge learning experience, and being in that studio was super dope.
But networking, you know, that kind of, like, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies and business cards everywhere, you don't really learn that in school. That's something they don't really teach you.
Right.
They teach you, like, the technical side of things about music and engineering. And if you take marketing classes, they might teach you about music marketing and promotional efforts, but they don't teach you that kind of, like, you being in front of the person and making that connection so that a decade down the line, something comes up, you can call up the person and be like, hey, let's work on this together.
Right. They don't teach you. It's about who you know. Not don't teach us what we need to know. Teach us who we need to know and how to have that mindset when we go to these events. We got to learn how to talk to them, too. That's the thing, man. You need to, with these music majors, these music business majors and all these colleges, they need to kind of switch the curriculum and have a class on how to talk. I'm dead serious. I'm so serious. How do you talk to an executive if you meet one just right off the fly?
How do you shake their hand?
Right. What's going to be your, like, 3-second pitch? Hey, I'm this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm trying to get to. How can you help me? like, how do you say that in a, like, a professional and friendly way to where it doesn't, like, come off as, like, oh, you just want me for my resource? I mean, yeah, we do, but how do we flip that?
And I think that's another thing. It's not just, hey, I need you for something. It's the opposite, where you just said, it's, hey, what can I offer you?
How can I
help you out?
Exactly.
I mean, I agree with that, too. I think that just like Dr. Fish told you, I mean, it's something that you learn by doing it yourself.
Yeah.
But I think there's something in between. You could have some lessons. There's some teachers out there that could show you some tips along the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's as an independent artist, as a DIY artist, that's a big mountain that you have to climb up by yourself.
Yeah, it was crazy. So now, like, after all that, I can definitely go to New York by myself and you know, see what's up. And just walk and meet people, whatever I got to do. But that was a huge experience for me. Like, I was very thankful when I got back.
If it was up to me, life would be greater than the presence that I see with dedication. No hesitation. Nobody has ambition at all. Stressing over nothing, why they still smoke menthol? Don't mess up my eye. I never mean to harm you, but I'm not that guy. Don't think that there's a point to prove, cause why would I lie? I see you wanna act brand new. Several fish up in the sea, only left a few. Good girls wanna be with bad ones.
What was your first official gig as Young Citizen in Charlotte?
In Charlotte.
Like, what venue was it? When was it?
When I did West Charlotte on Batesford Road, they used to have this thing called West Fest. And they don't even do that anymore, but they did it in summertime. That was my first official show. And I was just like, oh, snap, this is what's up. And, you know, it was a lot of people. Wasn't a lot of people around the stage, but it was some people there. Power 98 was there. And, yeah, that was my first official performance. That was back in, like, 2013, 2014.
Tell me about it. What songs did you do?
I did the song called Success. What else did I do? It was some old songs. It was some old songs. I don't even think they're out anymore.
Were you nervous?
I was. I was super nervous. Man, I didn't even know what to do. I was like, well, we're going to go and get it popping. We'll see what happens. I was out of breath. After that, I was like, I'm not going to be out of breath anymore for shows. But, yeah, it was at West Charlotte High School. They had, like, this whole entire festival. Big stage and carnival stuff and food trucks and stuff like that.
Where else have you performed in Charlotte?
I performed at Petra's, which is in Plaza Midwood, Common Market, little venues like Black Market at Camp North End, mostly the venues that are, like, still up. I always wanted to do Tremont Music Hall. I wanted to do the Chop Shop. Never got to do any of those. I wanted to do, Amos South End. Yeah.
I've heard from so many musicians that have lamented over how there were great venues, more great venues in Charlotte, but that in recent years they've just been shut down, bulldozed over,
yeah.
Condos rose up,
built
in their place.
Breweries, yeah. All that, yeah.
What are your thoughts as a native Charlottean seeing the city grow in a number of ways, but then when it comes to music, maybe it's not growing in some?
Yeah. It makes me sad. You know, really, like, being a Charlotte native, it really breaks my heart because there's so many talented people in this city that people don't even realize, don't even know who they are, because they don't have the opportunity to perform. And so these artists end up moving. Then they get discovered elsewhere. And then they're like, yes. And then they'll start, you know, and then they'll be like, yeah, I tried doing this in Charlotte, but... And then that's when they start stressing, you have to move out of the city to get discovered. I just throw the monkey wrench in. I'm like, I refuse to do that. There is a way to tap into this city and tap into this music scene to really make something pop with all the talent that we still have in the city.
Coming up, Young Citizen on bringing the music community together through a mixtape. That's right after this break on Amplifier. Hey, Amplifier friends. We're hearing from the musicians throughout the series, but I also want to shine a light on you, the music fans. This week, we're checking in with a listener named Gray, who had this to say about the Amplifier podcast. Thank you for making my morning commute bearable. I love hearing all the stories of how fellow music lovers became inspired, continue to be inspired by music, and how they are contributing to our rich and diverse music scene. Joni's love of music is infectious. It's true, music discovery earworms are infectious, Gray. So thank you for the sweet words and for bringing the Amplifier podcast with you during your car rides. Now, if you're not Gray, I would love to share your comments next on the podcast. Did you discover a new favorite artist because of this series? Let us know by leaving the Amplifier podcast a rating and a review in your favorite podcast app. You can also tell us your thoughts on social media. I'm at A Change of Tune. While you're doing that, let's get back to our interview. I'm going to go back a year ago when you released an EP that was a basic collaboration between all these different artists in and around Charlotte. It's called the Alive Sessions.
Alive Sessions with Young Citizen,
Yeah, and that was great. So you want to talk about the process behind
Absolutely,
that?
Yeah. So really how that started was I did these, I used to do these, I was trying to figure out, how can I get people knowing that I produce? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do these Facebook. This is when Facebook Live first started. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do these Facebook Live sessions. And I would go live for like 25, 30 minutes. And like, it started, like the numbers were going up. So I would do, I did it for 10 weeks. So I was like, okay, cool. I got 20 beats. How can I, what can I do? So I actually linked up with my DJ. I went over to his house, DJ Sir Charles. And I was like, yo, I got all these beats. What do you think I should do? He was like, yo, why don't you do like a project out of it? I'm like, all right, so let's do like a, you know, like a little EP. So I did a 6-song EP and I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, let's try something different. Let's try something kind of like Outkast, you know, down in Atlanta, you know, Stankonia, when they all work together, producers, artists, let's try to see how we can make this pop. So I reached out to like 6-7 artists. I actually did like a video. It was pretty crazy. And I sent it to each artist individually. I hit up Vince, aka Michael Remissi. I hit up Modest John, Maury B, Dexter Jordan, my sister Enchanted.
I've been through a storm that keeps on going on. The cycle leaves me torn, a building missing form. Rain fall down on me till I finally see.
And myself and DJ Sir Charles is on there. We all came together, we had a meeting. I chose 6 beats out of the 20. I'm like, I got these 6 beats. I think you sound good on this one, you sound good on this one, boom, boom, boom. Let's write and let's get it popping. So we recorded the demos and I was like, okay, cool, it's time to go to the studio. So I booked a 12-hour day at the studio. Susu Studios off of like Central. And it became an Alive Sessions project. Now, I'ma say this, it was the most work that I had to do and I had to manage and I had to be like, hey, cool, I need you to come this day. Like when we had that 12-hour session, some people had to go to their day jobs. Like, hey, cool, I need you to come at this time. I need you to come at this time and we can get all this done in one day. So it was crazy, like mapping and planning all that out, because like at one point I was like, this is not going to work. And it ended up working. I don't know how I made it happen, but it popped.
Go mindless, break that fire in the silence. Trying to find a balance, meditation on horizon. Shooting for the timers, gotta find my way, need guidance. Life's on the line, not gonna stress, keep smiling.
Earlier this year, you released a new single, and it's called Outkast, spelled like Outkast, the band in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that you wrote it in a single night.
I did.
So, what inspired it?
Okay, so Moonlander and Rob Flow, shout out to them. Them two artists right there are the, like, they're so wild. Like,
I can tell. And you released a music video with them recently. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. Yeah, but I just tell by the music video that they're a little wild.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I've known them for several years, and I always kept saying, like, yo, we all need to do a record together. Like, I want to, like, but I was saying it individually. So then when I wrote, when I literally produced and created that music for Outkast, and I was hitting that, dun, 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 and then I threw it in the 808 and them drums, I'm like, yo, I got to get Moon on this joint to sing the hook. And then I was like, well, dang, maybe, because Moon and Rob are like best friends. I was like, well, maybe I can get Rob on there. So I hit them both up. I was like, yo, I tweeted them. I was like, yo, let's do this record. Like, it's time. Like, we waited too long. It's been like 2 years. Like, what's good? So I got them both over. And when they came over, as soon as I played it, Moon was like, oh, snap. Yeah, like, let's do this. So Moon's like, all right, pause it. He was like, all right, turn my mic on. Like, just turn the mic on and give me the auto-tune. As soon as I turned the auto-tune on, he was like, like, it started out with the na 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 na. Like, that's what sparked the record.
I would rather do a matinee. Everything always sound the same, and it's all recycled, it's the price you pay. No more stopping, cause I'm in the pocket. On the camera, Moon, let us shot it. Ride flow, there's no ever doubting, cause he flamed the mic, and I know he got it. Trump in office, and we all are trauma, so it's been drama, and we miss Obama. Sick and tired, pushing pull, need to make up your mind, so go ahead, pick sides. Through and tired, all that line. Fix your face, stop crying. In denial, go.
And then it was just all about just being different. And I recorded the verse and I sent it to him the next day. And I was like, all right, Rob, you next, bro. So that's how that worked out.
And what about the music video?
So, okay, so there's this group that's managed by Simon Cowell. So he has this group that he manages called Pretty Much. And they came out with this song called Teacher. And Moon was like, yo, like, check out this video. Have you ever heard of Pretty Much? I was like, nah, who is that? He's like, yo, check out this video. As soon as I saw the video, I was like, bruh, that's the Outkast video all day. Because we were trying to figure out, like, yo, what is the visual going to be for it? I was like, bruh, that's it. Let's hit the man's up, and let's do this one take situation. So that's what happened. So I booked the time at Studio 1212, and we got there. It was hot. It was super hot in that place. I don't know what was going on. They had this big fan. And I was like, all right, let's just try to, like, go off the fly of what we want to do. So the videographer, his name is Austin, he was like, all right, we kind of need to have a plan of how we're going to do it. Like, where are you going to be and where are you going to start?
Yeah, because for those that haven't seen the video, I mean, it is granted, you do a number of takes to get the right take, but it is a pan shot with the video crew following you and the guys around the warehouse as you're doing the song in one take, basically.
Right. Yeah. It took like 15, 20 times. And it was hot. Oh my gosh, I just can't imagine. Because how we were originally going to do the video was me driving up in my car, like literally drive my car into the warehouse. Because you could drive your car into the warehouse. Oh. And we were like, nah, this ain't going to work because the lighting is off. So we're like, all right, well, let's start in this other room. And I'll start right there. And then we just did that. You know what I'm saying? And then... it was parts in the video where I kind of like go out and then come back in doing the one take. During that time when I was out, I was literally trying to fan myself in front of the fan, like lift my shirt up. I'm hot, wiping the sweat off, boom, boom, cool off, and then come back into the shot. Like literally, I was that literally happened in the video. I don't know what made me do that, but I just.
Well, it's a fun video to watch, but when you get into the lyrics though. Like you mentioned, you're talking about being this kind of fish out of water, doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And there's even a point in the song where you're saying, like, this song might not make it to radio.
Mm-mm. It may not, and I'm cool with that.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. I just feel like some radios just have a certain sound they're looking for. They're looking for, like, a, you know.
They're looking for like a Drake, or they're looking for like a, you know what I'm party. Saying?
Yeah, party, hard hitting drums, you know, trap. Shout out to trap. Like, I love trap music, you know, but, you know, mine is different. And I'm like, you know, it may not make it to the radio. So I was like, I got to put that in this song. So maybe it'll hit, maybe it'll catch a radio station's eyes.
It'll be on the radio because you didn't want it to be on the radio.
Right. Let me just prove Young wrong. Let me just prove him wrong real quick. Yeah, it's on the radio now. I'm like, dang, all right, that's what's up. That was really where I tried to do it. Like, let me just catch somebody's ears real quick.
Does that feeling where it's not going to be on the radio, does it make you want to make more music that's not going to be on the radio? Or is it like, should I change what I do so that someone appreciates it and is able to hear it more?
I mean, it just makes me, it makes me want to just make more music and just prove people wrong, you know, and just, you know, prove radio stations wrong. Like, well, you lost your shot, you know. It's just one of those things. It's just, it's a motivational type piece, you know, that just makes me just want to keep going harder. And if anything makes it to the radio, if any of my music makes it to the radio, I'm cool with it. That's a huge blessing, but I'm not really worried about it. I'm just going to continue doing me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing through sunshine and rain. Stressing over everything, losing your brain. Pick back up yourself before you go insane. Levitate over times and you got the rain.
Young Citizen's latest singles are Outcast and Beautiful Thing. Available on youngcitizen.com and wherever fine music is streamed and sold. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode was written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. You can share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations right now on social media. Just follow and tag me. I'm at A Change of Tune. New episodes of Amplifier drop each weekday this September, so make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and wherever you find podcasts. For more Charlotte music chats, including playlists and even a Charlotte music map, visit wfae.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.